Well, good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville on Palm Sunday 2022. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather to remember that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as king. So just welcome each one of you. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us. Special welcome to those who are joining us via live stream also. So would you receive this call to worship this morning? Together, we seek the way of God, a way so different from the ways of this world. We remind ourselves to loosen our grip and to trust instead of try to control. We praise a God that we cannot see and celebrate a salvation that we do not completely understand. In worship, we give of ourselves and we receive power from God. So we cry, "Blessed is the one who comes in the power of God's name." Should you join in the worship team this morning in celebrating the King?
Good morning. I invite you to stand for worship if you are able. I want to sing a lot of songs about Jesus this morning and continue what our Sunday school lesson was about and just honor him.
Thank you.
offering on this psalm, this next psalm, and today's offering is going for the Pastoral Support Fund. And we just thank God for the wonderful pastors we have, and just pray His blessing on them. And also the children may come forward on this psalm with their coins for My Coins Count.
These men do help each one of us in some way, shape, or form, and we thank you for that, and just bless them for that. And just continue to bless us, show us as a church what we need to be doing, put it on our hearts, and just continue to give us a new direction, new ways to reach out, and just help this community, help this town, and help the people around us, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And just want to continue to worship Jesus, and just as we say, around Christmas time, it's true around this time of year as well. Jesus is the reason for the season.
I'm not afraid to die.
Securing our salvation. And we honor you as King today, even though on the original Palm Sunday, the people honored you, but they didn't really understand what your kingship meant. We do today, Jesus, and we honor you. And I just pray your touch on Larry this morning as he brings us your word. Just fill him with boldness. And fill him with your words. In your name I pray. Amen.
So as we continue our worship, I would invite Michael and Ashley Hankins to come forward with their addition to their family. When Christian parents present their child to God before the congregation, they come to thank God for the life that's been entrusted to them and to dedicate themselves to live godly lives as examples and to offer their child back to God, and to ask for God's blessing on their life together. And we as a congregation come to share in their joy, to pray with them for their child's well-being, and to receive their children into the care of the church. So this morning, Michael and Ashley are here to dedicate their new daughter to the Lord. So I'm going to ask Michael to step up to the microphone and introduce your daughter to us. Then I believe you have a little letter you would like to read to Alana. So go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm Michael Hankins. If you don't know, this is my wife, Ashley. And this is Alana Mae Hankins. And we also have two other boys. One's Colton and the other's Jace. And, I guess before I get into my letter, to Alana, I just wanted to thank you for all the prayers and the speedy recovery of me falling off the ladder. What was it, the 21st of March? I think God heard them, and as you can see, I'm walking. I mean, I'm still a little stiff in the rib and back area, but I mean, could have been a lot worse, and I'm thankful to be here.
Amen.
So thank you. And then, all right. So Alana Mae Hankins was born February 21st, 2022. She was 20.5 inches and weighed 7 pounds and 9 ounces. Alana, I pray for you to be a woman of God, and He gives you the strength when you need it. Being a Christian seems to be the most unpopular thing nowadays, but I can promise you it is the best thing. And I hope you find an unstoppable love for Christ that carries you through life. Life will bring challenges and struggles, but find peace in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've tried to live my life like David, and I fall short of the glory of God every day. And usually in the evening, I say to myself, man, should have done that differently, or maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I always pray and ask for forgiveness. And pray for the ones that curse and mock you. It's hard sometimes, but I promise you, eventually it will give you peace in God. And God has great plans for you, Alana. I am excited to eventually see where God takes you. We will support your dreams and desires and goals as you grow, and we'll do our best to reflect God's love to you through our own. And remember, no dating till you're 25. I'm kidding. If you meet the right one, yeah.
Well, Michael, Alana was watching you the whole time that you were reading that, just in case you didn't know that. So
yeah. Thank you.
I had the ability, or was there able to see that. So.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Do you accept your child as a gift from God? Can you answer, we do?
We do.
And do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, preparing her to come to an open confession of faith in Christ and to live your lives as godly examples for her? Can you answer, we do?
We do.
And do you promise to gladly surrender your child to the ministry God has in mind for her, even if it might mean or involve going to the ends of the earth? We do?
We do.
And now to you, the congregation. Do you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support these parents, Michael and Ashley, in nurturing Alana to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ? If you can answer in the affirmative, would you please stand? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you. Thank you for this precious gift of this beautiful baby girl, Alana Mae, who's been given to Michael and Ashley. So we ask, Father God, that you would give Michael and Ashley the wisdom they need as they raise her and their boys. I pray, Father God, that you would be with Alana every step of the way, and that one day she would dedicate and commit her heart and life to you. So we pray for Alana. We dedicate her to you today in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And we ask for your special blessing to rest upon Alana, Ashley, Michael, and the boys. And as a congregation, we pray, Father God, you would give us the ability to surround Michael and Ashley and their family, support them and encourage them every step of the way. So we give you honor and glory and praise in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Here's a gift for you. There you go. All right, now invite the children to come forward for the children's story this morning. You can have it. You can have a seat.
No, I want to stand up with you.
Are you going to hold my hand? Let's hold hands, okay? There we go. There's a spot right here for you, Gavin.
No, that's my brother. He can come up and stand with
me. He wants to sit right there. That's good. Oh, you want to, okay, you can stand here too. What day is today? Do you know what today is?
Sunday.
Right. It's Sunday, you're right. It's Palm Sunday, yes, absolutely.
I love Sunday.
What happened on Palm Sunday?
We learned about Jesus dying on the cross.
You learned about Jesus dying on the cross, okay? On Palm Sunday, something special happened, though. You guys want to sit down? Yeah, come over here and sit down. Yeah, have a seat.
No, I want to sit with you. Please, no one else gets to. You can sit very
close. Yeah, have a seat right here. That's good. That's good. Okay, you stand right here. Okay, like I was saying, on Palm Sunday, what happened? Jesus came riding on a
donkey. And at the end of the story in our class, he washed his feet and pretend in real water.
Cool.
Just like if he didn't touch it. But she washed our classroom's teacher.
Good, good.
For real.
All right. Well, on Palm Sunday, Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, okay? What were the people saying or shouting as he rode? Do you know?
It was something, though we writing it on the wall, but I forget.
Well, they were shouting, Hosanna, right?
Hosanna! 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 Hosanna.
Glory in the highest, as he rode in. So Jesus was riding on the donkey, and they were shouting Hosanna to the King of Kings. And that was all because in the...
They were waving poems at him as he was walking.
That's exactly right. They were waving palm branches. And the reason that he was riding is it was a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, which from Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation, he is humble and mounted on a donkey." So that's why he came, because it was a fulfillment of Scripture. Okay? And as he rode along, they were shouting, Hosanna to the King of Kings. So can you all shout Hosanna real loud?
Hosanna!
Let me count. 1, 2, 3, then we'll shout Hosanna, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Hosanna!
Good. Great. So that was part of the story. You need to come back. You need to come back on Good Friday evening, because we're going to have another part of the story of Jesus coming to this earth. And then you come back Friday, we'll learn the rest of the story, okay? Come back Good Friday. The service will be especially for you guys, okay? So I'm going to have a word of prayer, then you can grab a snack and head back to your parents, okay? Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you for that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and what that symbolizes for us. And as we recognize and understand that today, we also understand that back then they didn't realize what was happening. So we thank you for Jesus, and I pray your special blessing upon these boys and girls that would one day they would give their hearts to you and love you with all their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, grab a snack. You can go back to your parents. Okay, well, good morning again. Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey those many years ago. We're going to be continuing our journey through the season of Lent, and I just want to thank those of you who attended the Lenten lunches. We have one more this coming Thursday, so if you haven't attended the Lenten lunch yet, you're welcome to join us Thursdays from 12 to 1 at St. John's UCC Church, where the community gets together, has a lunch, and then one of the pastors from the local churches shares a meditation. So it's a good opportunity to interact with our community. So if you're free on Thursday, come out and join us. Also, I want to pray for the youth group. They're away in a retreat this weekend. So before we get into the message, I'll just pause and have a word of prayer for them. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for the youth of our congregation. And as they're away on a retreat this weekend, I pray, Father God, you would be with them. I pray they would be able to learn more about you, understand more about you, grow closer to you, and also to one another as they spend this time away. And now as we look into your holy word this morning, I pray, Father God, that you would just continue to teach us, show us, give us understanding of who you are and what you desire for us to be in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, throughout this season of Lent, our theme has been seeking God's ways, and it's based on Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So we've looked at moving from security to generosity, from fear to compassion, from earning to receiving, from scarcity to abundance, and today we're going to be looking at moving from power over to power with. When Jesus came to this earth, he was fully human and he was fully God at the same time. He would have had the power to reign over everyone and everything. But instead, he chose to fulfill his heavenly Father's will and show the world the incredible power of love. He chose to show his power with love. A love so strong that he was willing to lay down his life for you and for me. That same power with love is available today and is what should be flowing through every believer of Jesus. Love is a supernatural fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So this morning, I'd like to look at Luke 19. This is a very, very familiar passage, which most of us here this morning have heard this passage over and over and over again. So I'd like to read these verses, beginning at Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes." So let's back up a little bit to gain a little bit of context. 6 days before the Passover, in less than a week, Jesus would be hanging on a cross. But right now, Jesus is in Bethany, a small village about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. He's in the home of Simon the leper, having a meal. At the dinner are Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom Jesus had just raised from the dead a few days earlier, and the 12 disciples. They're having a dinner together. So imagine the conversation at that table. Some were probably asking Lazarus some probing questions like, "What was it like to be dead? Do you remember anything? Did you see anything? Did you hear Jesus shout from outside the grave?" Others were saying, "Pass the gravy," and, "Hey, Pete, why do you always take the biggest lamb chop?" It's just a bunch of friends who'd shared so much life together, having a meal together, enjoying one another's company. Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, the holy city is swelling. As thousands of people are flooding to the city of David to participate in the Passover feast. But this year they had more than the Passover on their minds. Jesus was on their minds and on their lips of nearly everyone, because word of his miracles had spread like wildfire. The feeding of the 5,000, the healing, the restoring of sight, the lame made to walk, the forgiving of sins, the raising from the dead of Lazarus. The multitudes in Jerusalem were looking for Jesus with great intensity. They went to the marketplace and they looked in the temple and they asked each other, "What do you think? Do you think he will come? I hope he comes. Maybe the Messiah's kingdom will come now. Oh, we better be quiet, because here comes some temple guards. They're looking for Jesus too." The Pharisees have put a price on his head, so maybe he won't come. But then again, maybe he might. Do you really think that he could be the Messiah? It wasn't long before word of Jesus being in Bethany reached Jerusalem, and thousands of people left. So when the chief priests, adorned in their long robes, saw the crowds leaving, they inquired as to where and why the multitudes were leaving. Now, Jesus could have walked into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, but he rode on the colt of a donkey. This was symbolic, a symbolic claim by Jesus that he was the Messiah. It was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Jesus had purposely stayed out of the limelight as much as he could because his time had not yet come. But now the time had come, and Jesus is announcing that he is indeed king. He was on his Father's timetable as he acted deliberately and with a holy purpose as he's riding into Jerusalem. You see, he knew that his enemies would be watching when he rode into town, and he wanted them to see him being treated like a king. It was as if he was saying to them, look, I know you're going to drag me into court. I know you're going to treat me like a criminal. But before you do, I want you to take one more look at the real me. I want you to have one more chance to step out and join the celebration. You see, the time had come for the great struggle to begin. The hour had arrived for the world and mankind to make the ultimate decision of either to acknowledge their ruler or to renounce him. He did not ride into the city on a white stallion, surrounded by a mighty army. Rather, he rode on a beast of burden, and his army was an unorganized group of fishermen and shepherds. The kingdom Jesus was establishing was not of this world. It was not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. Not a temporary kingdom, but an eternal kingdom. Jesus is riding towards the holy city, and with every step that is taken, the excitement and the energy is building. And in Matthew's account, it says the whole city was stirred. Jesus was surrounded by thousands of people, and as he neared the city, many more came rushing out to meet him. The one that they had hoped would show up was here. Some began to lay their cloaks in the road. Others climbed palm trees, cut off their branches, and lay them on the road or waved them as Jesus rode by. The crowds erupted with sounds of praise, singing, and shouting. Hosanna, which means save us, we pray. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The people are shouting, King, but his garment is not a royal robe, and his court is made up of fishermen and common folk. Yet there's never been a pageant that has passed through any city in the world that has set its mark on time as this triumphal entry of Jesus. Wouldn't you have loved to be there? Wouldn't you love to be there? In the crowd, shouting and singing as the King of Kings, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Well, I've read this passage many times. But as I read it this time, something stood out to me. Maybe it's easy to get caught up in the emotions of this passage. But sometimes we tend to lose sight of what's really happening when we get all fired up emotionally. The Passover crowd was celebrating, waving palm branches. Perhaps they were more concerned about this event than they were about the king and what he was experiencing. So listen to the words from Luke 19, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. The word wept here means more than tears. It suggests that Jesus' whole body was heaving and sobbing, a deep and soulful sobbing. So do you get the picture here? Do you see the contrast? The crowds are singing and shouting as they're surrounding Jesus. No one seems to notice the tears and the sobbing and the quivering of Jesus' body as he's riding into the city. Why are you crying, Jesus? Why are you crying? As Jesus sees Jerusalem, it is not for himself that the tears are shed. He was not weeping over the cross that he knew awaited him. No, he is weeping over the fate of what would come upon the city. Instead of the resounding and joyful shouts, Jesus heard the screams. He heard the cries. He heard the shrieks. He heard the groans of the men, women, and children that would die because they would reject him as their Savior. Jesus wept for those who would reject the gift that he came to give. He wept for those who would reject the crown of life that he would win for them. You see, behind those now exuberant faces were people who would soon reject him and in so doing would incur the Father's wrath. As Jesus looked at the faces in the crowd, he wept. So how do you think Jesus felt as he looked at his disciples? He saw them laughing, shouting, singing on the road to Jerusalem. But he wept because he knew what they would endure as they faithfully finished their race. He saw the chains. He saw the prison walls. He saw the beatings. He saw James beheaded, Thomas stoned, John exiled, Peter crucified upside down. Jesus had told them he was going to Jerusalem to die, but as they walked beside Jesus among that huge crowd, what are the disciples thinking? There's a lot of shouting, celebrating, singing. But as Jesus looked at their faces, he wept. Luke, in his gospel, tells us there were also Pharisees in the crowd, and I'll call them ruthless Pharisees. And we can be sure that even though they were there, they were certainly not part of the celebration. It must have fueled intense anger to see them see all the celebration, all the praise for their worst enemy, for the one who threatened their power and their position, for the one who they feared and the one who they hated, for the one whose head they had put a price on. Luke tells us that somewhere along this road of celebration, these men could no longer contain their boiling anger. Each hosanna must have been like a knife ripping through them. Until finally they shouted, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples." In all reality, They were saying, tell them to stop worshiping you. And Jesus told them, do not think that you can stop the worship of God. No matter how hostile you are to me, no matter how you try and stop the people from praising me, you cannot, because the Son of God will always be worshiped. And even if they would keep quiet, then the rocks and the stones would cry out in praise. The Pharisees were lost in their stubborn pride and refusal to acknowledge Jesus. But Jesus found no joy in their rejection. He wept for the Pharisees, who were so close to the Father's house, but so far from the Father. Now, there was another group in that crowd that day, and I suspect that it may have been the largest and the loudest group. These faces belong to the self-serving and rootless followers. Sure, they were all for Jesus now. Yes, they were ready to make him king. But that was only because they believed that Jesus was coming to do what they'd been waiting for years. They believed he was going to set up a physical kingdom and overthrow the Romans and release them from the bondage of Roman oppression. They believed that Jesus was following their plan, and therefore they loved him on that basis. But Jesus knew that their roots were shallow and their devotion was temporary. Jesus wept for them as he saw those faces who, in just a few short days, would be shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! Yeah, that was quite a crowd on the road to Jerusalem that day. And you know what? The crowd really hasn't changed all that much in the last 2,000 plus years. The only difference is that now we, you and I, are part of the crowd. So today, Jesus still weeps. He weeps for the world. He weeps for Jerusalem. He weeps for our nation. He weeps for our community of Bowmansville and for every single person who rejects him and the forgiveness and the love that he gives through the power with love that he displayed on the cross. So, for whom do you weep? We could not be there that day to greet our Lord as he entered Jerusalem. But today, we can praise him with our hosannas and weep with him over those who are lost. In our weeping, we pray that everyone will see the power with love that Jesus showed on the cross and the humility of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then one glorious day, one glorious day, we will join a much larger multitude, one that no one can number, waving our palm branches in love, joy, and worship. Revelation 7, 9 to 12 says this. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." I want to be there. How about you? How about you? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the time that we can remember that day when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. And as we think about the people who were in the crowd that day, give us an understanding of what we may have been thinking as we may have been part of that crowd. So I pray, Father God, that we would not be among those rootless followers, but I pray that our roots would go deep and our trust and faith in you would be strengthened and deepened as we enter through Holy Week, as we gather on Good Friday to remember what happened that day, and then as we look forward again to celebrating the resurrection from the grave of your Son, Jesus Christ, next Sunday, and what that truly means for us as your followers. So we thank you for this time of thinking back and remembering of all that Jesus has done for us. And we ask that you would help us to keep our focus upon you and you only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just a reminder, in your bulletins, there is a insert that you can fill out and then tack to the cross and the overflow, just the reflections on the sermon this morning. So would you come and lead us in a closing song?
On the path to fire, the whole earth.
Thank you for your attention this morning, and just a reminder of our Good Friday service on Friday at 6:30. We have a light meal, and then we'll share in foot washing on Friday evening, and then Sunday morning we'll share in the emblems as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So also the children are invited to come on Good Friday because the service will be geared towards them. So would you stand to receive this benediction? From 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.